The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Saoirse Hanley is with me, columnist with the Irish Independent, and Elaine Burke, presenter of the Over Tech Seg podcast, picking winners and sitters from the week gone by. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is my best friend from college, or actually me, because it's the return of my best friend from college. My friend Orla went to Australia about 2.5 years ago, and she is back. Maybe briefly, maybe for a bit longer. We don't entirely know yet, but I actually don't care what the expiry date is because she's here now and that's what matters. And I met her during the week, and when she came up to me, I had sent her my location as I was going to meet her, and she came running towards me on the street.
And you didn't recognise her?
Well, I was like, who's this person accosting
me? She had a hat with those, you know, the corks hanging down.
Yeah. There was a kangaroo in her pocket. It was really weird. And she arrived up, and it was literally within seconds of talking to her, I was like, this is really weird because it feels like, I think she's been home. I think I've maybe seen her, God, we'll say 3 hours in the past 2 years. Like, she's been home like very briefly, or I've caught her in between work or something. And we spent the whole afternoon together, and just knowing that I can say, are you free on next week, or what are you doing at the weekend, or whatever, has been so nice. I actually might just steal her passport so she can't go anywhere ever again. But I'm just delighted to have her. And I feel like I'm so used to going to a million and one emigration parties, and it was so nice to have someone coming back for however long we have her. It was so nice.
So is this the start, do you suspect, of the trickle back?
I hope so, because I feel like I said a lot of goodbyes, and then I, you know, you go on with your life and you try and catch up.
Remember Nickelback? Anyway,
is that a rock star? You have like all these goodbyes, and then you kind of make, you know, you make your peace with that, and you get
a good name for a Nickelback tribute band, wouldn't it?
Trickleback. Please don't start Trickleback. The Nickelback tribute.
Nickelback are enough.
Although
actually,
everything nostalgic is doing well right now, it might actually do great guns.
Kieran's copyright that quick, I'd say.
Patent.
But yeah, I like to think so, because I do have a few that are back now. And but then with everyone that comes back, two more go. I lost another friend to Australia next week. What's happening in Australia? I just don't think.
Are the people coming back?
There are one or two who are back. I have a friend who came back recently and was like, I'm never leaving the continent of Europe again. And I was like, that's what I want. I want no one to want to leave the continent of Europe ever again. But I have another friend who's just gone to Melbourne the other day, is back. And then this friend, Orla, she might, I think their plan is to maybe head back at some point, different visas, whatever. But there's no telling how long that could take. So she was like, could be here a month, could be here a year. And I was like, that's fine, I'll take it. Just stay here for 5 minutes.
So did you live abroad at all?
I have, yeah. I lived in Canada for a while in college, and then I moved to New York right before COVID. But then I came back during COVID because I didn't want to be there because it was scary.
How long were you in New York for?
That's really embarrassing when I say moved, like 4 months. It was meant to be longer, in my defense, but then the world ended.
4 months is long when you're young.
Yeah, I was like, I was maybe like 22. Maybe, like, I didn't know anybody there. It was great. I loved being there. But it's really funny when I think back, because I almost left all my stuff there. I almost left my stuff. I came home like the 18th of March, maybe 2020. And I was like, sure, I'll leave my stuff here. I'll be back. I'm back in 2 weeks. It's no big deal, guys.
Oh, sorry. So you moved back here. You came back to Ireland just as COVID hit.
It was the week of St. Patrick's Day, I remember really vividly. And the Monday I was like, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to wait it out. It's going to be fine. I had bought 2 boxes of pasta from a bodega, and I was like, I'm sorted, lads. Don't worry about me. And then by Wednesday, I was like, maybe I should actually go home. By Friday, I was home in Cork. It literally was like the fastest turnaround ever, because it was developing so quick. And like, it was weird because things were different here than they were there.
Yeah.
But we were watching all our friends and family back in Ireland having a different, and we were like, what do we do? So I came back. But I was meant to be there a lot longer, and I moved back. So I haven't moved since. I had no plans yet.
Did you live abroad?
Never. No, I'm a total homebody.
Really?
Yeah. Now I've started thinking now that I probably should have left because
and never come back.
Well, prospects of building roots here, not great, you know.
Yeah.
But friends that I have, I'm a bit older, and my friends, mostly the ones who came back because they didn't want to raise their kids outside of Ireland. And I think that's an interesting thing that happens. Like, there's a pattern of that, definitely. Like, people are finding opportunities abroad, and there's a reason why they leave, and there's a reason why they stay abroad for so long. But often when they settle, and a lot of them go abroad to Australia and meet Irish lads and marry Irish lads.
I know,
Best of both worlds, really, because you can eventually come home.
But when they start having kids, they start to think, oh, I want the support system of my family around. I want my family to be around my kids. I want my kids to be raised here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big draw to get people back. But it's still hard to come back. Like, I know people who want to come back and just start looking at the rental market and the buying market and are like, oh God,
mind.
So the average house price in Australia is now above $1 million since this week. It went above it midweek. Australian dollars.
I think there's a lot of Australia propaganda happening with young people, because a friend of mine who's born and bred in Sydney, she moved home because she was like, I actually can't afford to be renting here. And I was like, see, guys, it's just the same everywhere. So well, just see, stay and rent everywhere. Here.
I know people in Australia, people in Canada, people in the UK, people in Germany. Like, I've got a diaspora friendship group now. And also, like, I know a lot of friends that I had in Dublin and I no longer have in Dublin.
Yeah.
They had to move out of Dublin. So, yeah, seeing people for 3 hours across 2 years actually becomes quite commonplace when you're forced apart through these things.
If you had to move somewhere else then, forever.
Forever?
Forever.
Yeah, but ever. But like, you know, you can come back and visit or whatever. Let's just say you met someone or work took you abroad and it was likely to be kind of indefinite.
Yeah, if you could kind of go anywhere.
Yeah, Helsinki. Where would it be? Would it be? You'd live in Helsinki.
Love the vibe over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you been there though in February?
No, that's the thing. Like, I probably would freeze, but I just really like the people, really like that city. They've got a, it's a great, it's a city with outdoorsy vibes.
Yeah.
I really like that about it. They've got great food. Mm. They've got great systems, great public transport, things like that. Things that I find day to day actually make my life better. I found quite common in Helsinki.
They drink more coffee per capita than anyone else in the world.
Yeah. To stay warm.
That's how good it is in February. They just bathe in it and stuff. Yeah. Where would you live then if you had to?
This is quite probably too broad, but like somewhere mainland Europe. Somewhere like does...
I was a test. Because Cork people usually would say something like, oh, I'd probably live like in Tipperary if I had to live abroad. You know, they just count. Once you cross outside Cork.
If you stay in Ireland and go outside of Dublin, it would be Cork. And I shouldn't say that. Giving you guys so much credit.
And I will say, I saw something the other day and it was Killian Sunderman had a TikTok up about how Cove is the Cork of Cork. That like Cove people are really proud of being from Cove. And I was like, oh my God, it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. But like, look at the views and come back to me. What can I say? Look at the ocean view and come back to me.
Sorry, where did you say I was just slagging you for being from Cork?
Well, I'd say somewhere like France or somewhere where they do like really, really nice baguettes all the time. It could be Lisbon.
Cuisine
Paris.
De France.
Yeah.
Dunstores.
Well, yeah. If they're operating somewhere, I'll move there.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
good thing about being on that big European landmass is that you can travel anywhere by
train.
Yeah,
you're connected to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have friends in Brussels and it's just amazing for them. Like, Brussels can be a bit boring, whatever, but just the little day trips they can go on. It's incredible. Yeah.
That's what I think I would do.
Anyway, we need a bridge. We need a bridge to Europe.
Oh, yeah. Like, I went across that bridge from Copenhagen to Malmo.
Oh, did you?
Incredible.
And where it goes underwater for it and then it comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was
it's
that
amazing.
Cool?
Yeah, we need one of them. I was like, why don't we have this? This would be cool.
Did you watch The Bridge as well, that TV show?
I didn't, but I know the concept of it and what a great concept.
Oh, great idea.
Yes.
Seriously, you didn't watch it either.
No, I didn't.
We'll talk about things to watch in a few minutes' time. So who then, Elaine, is your winner of the week?
My winner is so funny because we've come full circle because my winner I'm aware of because of Saoirse.
Right.
When I was last on with Saoirse, she was telling me about going to see Pitbull and the festival that is a Pitbull concert at the moment where people dress up and it looks like so much fun.
Should have brought my ball cap today.
And I would have known nothing about that without you. And I came across this week, this marketer from Currys, you know, the tech supplier. They came up with the idea of going to a Pitbull concert dressed up in like a purple suit with the Currys brand with the name tag Mr. Worldwide. And handing out worldwide plug adapters to the people at the Pitbull concert.
And those aren't cheap.
That is clever.
It's so clever. This is a genius piece of marketing. And it's in the context of a week where news has been like, oh, influencers have now outstripped traditional media in terms of ad buying. And WPP, the world's biggest ad agency, their CEO has stepped down. Their market cap has halved. Everyone's fretting about the future of the advertising and marketing industry. And I'm like, this kid is the future of that industry because that is genius.
That is really, really clever.
Like, that was so
clever. What happened with WPP? What did they do that caused their market cap to have?
Well, I'm not saying that this is what happened, but an issue that I would say that they're having is they went all in on AI. Like, they've even partnered with NVIDIA, which is one of the big companies in AI. And it's kind of like, okay, cutting off the nose to spite the face there, lads, because guess what's going to compete with your industry big time? It's AI, and you're now helping to develop it. They put a lot of their IP into helping develop products for AI. They thought it would be a good selling point. Remains to be seen if that was a smart move.
All right. Anyway, Pitbull once again mentioned in the winners of the week category. Who'd have thunk it?
I did see a fantastic I don't know if you have ever seen Jess Glynn on TikTok and Instagram, but she's very pregnant at the moment, and her baby bump, she dressed as like a separate Pitbull to herself. And it was like, I think was a Pit Baby or something. So she was dressed as Pitbull and her baby bump was also Pitbull, and it's gone totally viral.
All right.
Talk about, like, there's been the Swift Economics talk and I'm like, is Pitbull now an economic driver? Is that what's happening now?
Worldwide.
These concerts are
the
an
pit,
event.
The Pit Pound. How many people talk about the Pink Pound? The Pit Pound. That's what it is. People are coming to spend the pit pound. Anyway, Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is one I imagine is shared by a lot of people at the moment, is with the situation happening in Ballymena and people rioting all week. My sinners are the people that are doing that in the name of like protecting people. And they're saying that what they're doing and what they're motivated by is protecting women and children in Ireland and making sure everybody's safe. Because much like the riots we had in Dublin, there was obviously an awful alleged assault that happened, and this has kind of sprung from that. And I totally validate that these things are awful and that peaceful protest is, you know, something that even the chief of police has come out and said that they respect. But it's when it turns into violence and turns into kind of this manhunt and it ends up being so obviously racially motivated, and then they have the gall to say that they're just trying to protect Irish women and children. But there's none of this to be seen when there's alleged attacks happening by Irish men to Irish women. They don't care. They don't lift a finger. They're not throwing things. Not that they should, but you can't have that as your excuse for something and then kind of turn it into your own weapon, because it's so, so scary. And like, my heart goes out so much to like these families of people who aren't from Ireland, who are living there, who are trying to, like, there was the chief of police was talking about the fact that they were, the PSNI were helping families that were hiding in attics and in their basements and like hiding away in their rooms as the evening was progressing so that their houses wouldn't get targeted. They wouldn't be in the receiving end of like a brick in the window or like a fire in their homes. It's so awful. And I just, it really galls me that the same people that have never said anything about any other alleged attacks in Ireland have loads to say all of a sudden because the alleged perpetrators weren't white. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Do you know what I find interesting about it? There's like a cultural memory of pogroms in the north. So they're much quicker. Sorry, this is a real generalization, people in the north. But they're people being kind of chased out of their homes or chased out of a community, you wouldn't get it. Like, sorry, I'm not saying there's not a kind of holier than thou thing. Like, there's as many kind of horrible attitudes towards foreigners in 26 counties as in the
Absolutely.
Six. But it manifest, it would, it, I can't see it manifesting in that way because we just don't have that. That hasn't been a feature of kind of life in Ireland to a degree.
The other thing is, you would have thought that that would have.
And that's kind of a tangential point to the big issue. But
do you know what I mean? Like, there's people alive today with lived experience of this, and it's like, how is this happening again? You would have thought.
I know, but on some level, maybe subconsciously, it's still then because there's a lived experience and there's a common cultural experience of it. It's seen as an option on some level, as in this is a thing that can happen. And once it's seen as a thing that can happen, it's much more likely to happen. You know, I couldn't see, say, like, if there was an alleged assault, as they reported this afternoon, in Dublin again, and you had a kind of stuff bubbling up like we had in November with the riots that time. You can't imagine it. Now, maybe I'm wrong, this naive. I can't imagine it manifesting in people literally going, where do the foreigners live? What house
so
is there?
Yeah.
Let's smash them up and move them out of this community. Whereas it's a thing in the north.
I see where you're coming from. It's kind of like if you've already taken that step.
Yeah, it's at a point in the past.
Yeah,
when society
like
has taken that
Rubicon is easier if you've done it already. Yeah. Like, I guess I see where you're coming
Isn't
from.
Isn't it crazy how we're looking at the opposite situation in the States, where you have riots and people being, you know, kind of suppressed down in LA, say, for stopping people from removing immigrants from their homes? Isn't that really weird? We're having the opposite situation there.
It genuinely feels like the world has gone mad and
it does.
Like you've just woken up in hell.
Yeah.
Like
every day I'm like,
to the news every day. Like, Saoirse was reading the newspapers outside and I was literally like, don't read the news on a Friday.
Ruin your weekend. I was like, I wonder what
Nothing
awful
good
things
in there.
I'm going to read about.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so that's your sinner of the week, Saoirse. Elaine, who's your sinner of the week?
Much more mild sinning here, but Dublin's AI tour guide. I don't know if any of you came across
this. Yeah,
because it was short-lived. The video that went up online was removed online.
No. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a little listen. This is it.
It's grand to see you. Brendan here, and I'm absolutely buzzing to take you on a journey through my hometown, Dublin. Split by the River Liffey into north side and south side, it's the city centre that ties it all together. From lively Temple Bar and the Old City to buzzing Stony Batter and cool Portobello, we'll discover a wide range of historical, cultural and iconic spots. And guess what? Dublin isn't just rich in history and leisure. Far from it. It's also absolutely steeped in words. From Joyce's winding sentences to Heaney's earthy verses, Yeats' mysticism and the goat himself, Oscar Wilde, this city has bred some of the world's finest minds.
So that was Brendan, wasn't that his name? That was Brendan, the tour guide.
Is he out of a job?
I don't have a big issue with that.
All right, what's the point of it?
I guess that people walk around with their phones telling them things. Is that it? I don't know how it really meant to work. Is it like those things
phone.
You put in your ear, like when you walk around Pompeii and when you get to a different area, it says, oh, now you're in the kitchens.
So I understand that. I understand.
That's my generic tour guide. Now you're in the kitchens.
There are tourism apps and technologies and stuff like that around tourism to give people assistive guides around cities, around
scan the QR
places.
Code and learn about this building.
Why does he need to have an AI generated face and personality and all this kind of stuff? Like, and why not? Like, now I understand if you want to be cheap, be cheap. So they didn't want to hire a voice actor to be Brendan. They AI generate that voice because you can tell, because there's no actual personality to it.
No.
You can tell it's encoded. Like, I get it, you want it to be cheap, but why did you have to have a face and a personality? Like, why does he have to have this uncanny... Now, obviously, this is an audible medium, so yeah, Saoirse's having a look at the picture of him now.
Why
does he have to look like a creep, an uncanny valley creep? I don't see the point.
Oh, he's got the high fade.
And I think they thought that they were going to get press by putting it out there as a video.
He's a handsome chap.
He looks like he's on TY Work Experience. I don't trust him to leave around the city.
Weird creature. Why is everything so smooth?
It's the airbrushing
AI
really freaks me out.
Everything has no edges in AI. It's very strange. And also, you can argue that like these audio mediums are good. People definitely do use audio for tours and stuff like that. I get that. And also, there's an advantage here for accessibility because, yes, if you do use an AI-generated voice, you can then have it translated into a number of languages easily. And, you know, people who can't read a guide can listen to it. But I don't believe that this is for accessibility because to get you that audio and the video to see, because like I said, it's been stripped from the internet, I did download the app to access it. And there is just audio. There is no written description. So it's clearly not taking an accessibility front because you're only servicing one format.
Yeah, okay.
So what is it for? This is a waste of effort.
We've such a wealth
of I assume what
too.
It's for is to harvest the data of the people who download the app on some level.
Yeah. No,
these things are for. Yeah. It's not what all industry is for at the moment. It's just harvesting data.
They can even do that without generating this AI. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Brendan didn't need to be there.
Sincerely, what's the point of you, Brendan? That was my problem with it.
Brendan, if you're listening, we're not that long away from being able to have Brendan on the show and we interview him.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to talk to that creep.
Do you know, but it's funny, you could share that video with, say, your basic ChatGPT model and say, watch this, and now let me interview you as Brendan and answer your questions as Brendan.
You could do that,
Brendan's winner in Sitter of the Week is
on a Friday to distract yourself from the horrible nature of the world at large. What is the point of that? Because, like, that's one thing, to do that, you know, as something that you do in your downtime just to fool around with. But why is Dublin City Council creating this and paying for this? What did they pay for this? Because what was the point of that expense?
And could have also
he claims Seamus Heaney for Dublin. Did you notice that?
Called Oscar Wilde the goat, which was the most
This is
AI generated scripting. Like, you get this cringe commentary.
Know that. Yeah. That's awful.
And I feel like no self-respecting good Dublin tour guide is gonna do something that awful. Like, and I know some of them will ham it up for tourists. You get your money, you do what you need to do. But like, I know they're not gonna be that bad.
Yeah. Now we're in the kitchens. Yeah, I think. I'm available.
Absolutely.
Dublin City Council could have paid me and I could have said that.
Yeah.
And now the goat, Oscar Wilde. Anyway, we will take a little break there and Saoirse and Elaine are going to stay with me. We'll be back with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Saoirse Handley and Elaine Burke are both still with me. Saoirse, so Andor.
Yes, I'm so late to the party, I know. But season 2 obviously just came out came out recent-ish. And I watched season 1 and 2 because I had never seen it. It had been recommended to me years ago and I remember vividly I had just got my wisdom teeth taken out, all 4 of them.
Okay.
And I was so woozy. And I tried to watch the first episode but I was just kind of like lolling with my head on my shoulder and it really didn't make any impact. So I left it for 2-3 years and then my boyfriend was like, I'm going to watch season 2, are you going to watch it with me? And I was like, okay, fine, but I'll watch season 1 first. So we did that, then season 2, and just finished it the night and I loved it. And I feel really like, you know, you kind of feel like you missed the boat on something slightly and you're like, oh, I want everyone to be talking about it again because now I can join in. And I started watching Rogue One yesterday because if anyone doesn't know, when you watch Andor, exactly where season two finishes is where the film Rogue One picks up. So we were watching that. We haven't finished it yet. I must go back and watch it. But I'm really enjoying it. And I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
But have you seen Rogue One before?
Yeah, years ago. Oh, yeah. Whenever it first came out, which was 2016, apparently. So I watched that then. But like, it made no major impact on me because it was just another Star Wars film. Whereas now I know so much more. And it's great because, like, I was saying this yesterday to my boyfriend as well, that like, it just unlocks the possibility of like, you could pluck a random character from anything and make them a prequel series that like, feeds into something and makes the universe a bit much bigger, and like your possibilities are endless. And it reminds me a lot of like Suzanne Collins is doing it at the minute with The Hunger Games, because obviously in, about 2 months ago she had Sunrise on the Reaping come out, which is a film coming out for next year, the year after. And like that, it was just a character from The Hunger Games that she's now developed a whole backstory for. It's great.
And are these the ones that are about snow? Because that was an interesting angle to take. Because like, take the villain,
give
him a very detailed backstory. I tried reading the first one of them.
I actually didn't read the snow one. This most recent one was Haymitch, who was played by the guy from True Detective. What's his name? It's escaping me now. Woody Harrelson. Is he in True Detective? Did I make that up?
Yeah, he's in the first season. And they're going to make another season with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know this. This is great.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the word. That's the buzz.
I just think it's a great concept that you can, and I think as well, if you've got a team of people who understand the base material well and can do that and develop it well, like, it's such a moneymaker. You can do that forever.
I hate it.
I hate
filling in backstories of movies. I hate telling me more about all the characters and where they came from. I hate it.
When it's not necessary, for sure. There's times where you're like, I don't need to know the person's motivations. But sometimes I think it works well.
I just want these things, these works of fiction, to stand alone without having to create a universe around them.
I would take a prequel over a reboot.
Don't love a reboot. This is basically monetization of fan fiction, because this is a thing that people do, that fans fill in normally. Like, fans usually fill in those
like
gaps.
All those Star Wars, you could not count the amount of books that fill in the Star Wars universe
if you're
random people.
Production business is going to be driven by user based research that's following online trends, you are absolutely going to throw money at essentially monetizing fan fiction. I think that's what it is. Everything now is researched by online. And it's kind of like, if you could just get into the real world and talk to real people every once in a while for your market research, we might get some interesting content out of that.
It's true, we'll tell you what we like.
Yeah, but instead they're just saying like, oh, there's a lot of activity online around, you know, like making these stories bigger, making these worlds bigger. So let's just do that. And it's like, you've also not hit upon the fact that that is fun for fans to do.
That's true.
And that's why it's popular and that's why they do it. It's not necessarily that they wanted you to do it. They were engaging in your content in a really cool, creative way, and now you're just taking that away from them so you can monetize it.
It also narrows the amount of new things we get in. Like, it reduces them. Because all these studios have finite resources, and if they're using those resources to expand the Hunger Games world and expand the Star Wars universe and expand the Marvel universe and expand the Jurassic Park universe and expand Mission Impossible universe, and Amazon are now going to expand the James Bond universe. Like, it just means that you're not getting new stuff in other areas. You're not going to make a new movie about something else that has never been tested before if you know that another Jurassic Park movie will guarantee make 400 million quid.
And it's also cashing in on parents buying cinema tickets for their kids, because parents spend a lot of money on their kids these days. Like, they never say no to anything.
Sonic
and they're
Universe.
Looking for things to do. If you want to go into a business that is guaranteed to make money, do something that sells things to parents for their kids, honestly, or to people for their dogs.
Yeah. Or harvest data from AI tour guides.
But like, the biggest cinema sensation of the year so far was definitely Sinners, right? And that was like really original. Now you only get to do that if you are Ryan Coogler, off the back of doing massively successful Marvel films and having a good lot of sentiment around him. But they're already talking like, is there going to be a Sinners 2? Is there going to be a Sinners 2? It's like, let it be. Let it be what it was.
Like, you know, like the way Adolescence was, what, 4 episodes? And as soon as it ended, or Baby Reindeer was the same, everyone was like, will there be a season 2? There doesn't actually need to be for that.
And I think there will be, because like, Brad Pitt's production company is one of the big backers of that. And I'd say they're like, yeah, cash in. Let's do more of these. I don't know if Philip Barantini necessarily wants to do another one. He's a director who is this visionary for doing these one-shot takes. Yeah. Like, that's what his Boiling Point film was about as well. But like, I don't cash in. Just let that be what it was, an incredible cultural moment in television.
Well, now I feel like a gullible sucker. Thank you.
No, yes. I have heard, I was going to say, sorry for all of that. I have heard Andor is absolutely brilliant and has a lot of...
Because I don't really care about the aliens and it's a lot more human. Which
All right, okay. What's Bracket City?
Oh my God. I was hoping you hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't.
I just came across this. And I know you love a word puzzle.
Yes.
This is a new word puzzle that I'm
obsessed
with.
Stop the lights.
It's a visible excitement. Yes.
Let's wrap this show up.
So it's one of these ones that started out as an online game that was a bit of a hit and then a publication bought it. So you access it through The Atlantic now. The Atlantic bought Bracket City, I think back in April. I only became aware of it in the last week and I'm already obsessed. And you can go through the archive. So once you get the hang of it, you can play through the archive and really hone your skills.
Okay.
How it works, Bracket City, is that you get like this big jumble of words. It looks like a giant paragraph, but you're trying to whittle it down to one short sentence. And it'll be a short sentence about something that happened on this day in history. So say, for example, one of the clues in the archive was Priscilla Presley celebrates the opening of Graceland. But to get to Graceland, you will have a word that gives you part of Graceland. So it'll say like a word that comes after rat and after amazing, and it's race. But before you got to that, after Rat and Before Amazing, you had to solve another clue to solve that clue. So the clues are like nested. It's like a nested crossword puzzle where whatever you solve actually contributes to the next clue.
Oh, that sounds hard.
Okay. Yeah, it is really tricky. It's tricky to get your head around, and it's actually hard to explain without a visual helper, but it's really fun. And some of them are really challenging. Some of them you'll fly through and then some of them you'll be stuck on, which is what I want.
Okay, apologies to the listeners. I'm about to just...
play today's game.
Play today's game live. I'm playing a visual-based word game over the radio. So that's...
What's in yellow there is your first clue to solve.
Okay, so...
context clues, blank between the lines.
Read between the lines.
So you type in read now and it'll solve that clue.
Enter. Yes,
and then read becomes part of your next clue.
I see.
This is... I am instantly obsessed with this game. I love one that you can play the archive in as well, because it means on a day where the single fix isn't going to be enough for you that you need more puzzling.
So is that my next clue, the one above it?
Everything in yellow is your clue. So blank, road,
something,
Reading or short line. Now road is part of the word. It's very close to the blank.
Oh, I see. It's not a space. Okay. Oh, railroad.
Exactly. So you type in rail and railroad or rail will become part of your next clue.
I see.
And
okay.
You'll turn that paragraph into one tiny sentence that also teaches you a little something about something that happened on this day in history.
Right. So, like, for example, currently we would have read and rail in the sentence.
Read is gone now. Like, every time you progress, it's the last word you solved is now part of the.
Okay. Well, apologies to anybody who's still listening. I'm not sure how many of you there are, but I'm going to do this now. Elaine Burke, presenter of the Over Tech's Egg podcast, Saoirse Handy, columnist with the Irish Independent. That's our lot. Off the Ball are up next, and I'll be back tomorrow. No, tomorrow is Saturday. I'll be back on Monday. From 4, we are actually coming to you live on Monday. Newstalk Summer Tour is kicking off. So all next week, different shows across the schedule will be broadcasting from different places in Ireland. And we are going to be in the sunny southeast. We are in Wexford and Green Acres in Wexford Town on Monday from 4 o'clock. And if you go on to newstalk.com/summer tour, you can find out all the information. And you know what? Just come along. Come on to Green Acres. There's going to be room there for people. There's going to be seats. There's going to be a bit of food. You know what? The bar will be open. Have a few drinks. Whatever. It's the summer. Let your hair down. See you there, 4 o'clock Monday.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.